Bless You, Sister Carter. I appreciate that song, and I'm glad that I know that, that it's well with my soul. Well, I certainly need your prayers today. I'm going to be very challenged today to say what I need to say before this church here this morning. Because God has just taken me way out of my comfort zone today. The way that He has impressed my heart is far different than the way that I normally present a message. I guess that I feel a little bit like Ezekiel did when God told him to go out there for day after day and lay down on his side. But, you know, I believe that we need to follow the Lord. I believe we need to make sure that it's the Lord that we're following, but when we do, we need to follow the Lord. And I had actually made note of some things, and I took them and threw them away. And in about 3 minutes, I had to go dig them out. And then I had to rewrite them because I had crumpled it all up. And so I ask you for your patience because this is going to seem no doubt really strange to you. I want you to know that as far as I can tell, I have not lost my mind. I'm just trying to do what the Lord... God has dealt with me over the last couple of days. I went to, had the privilege again of going to the fellowship meeting there in Georgia at Union Hill, got back last night, and there was something that was said there that the Lord really spoke to my heart and dealt with me on it. And to be honest with you, I almost didn't go. I had felt for some while that I was going to go, and then I had excuse me, a lot of other things, a lot of other reasons that I had to be on the road, and have got several things coming up in the very near future where I'm going to have to be out on the road a lot. And I thought for a little while, I thought, well, maybe I just won't go to Georgia. And I decided to go ahead and make the trip. And then I got there, and during the service Friday night, the Lord really impressed something on my heart. And so I'm going to begin today, before I read any scripture, I'm going to begin today by telling you that I know how to play a guitar. It's something that I learned when I was a preteen. And I know how to... with that, I know enough to be able to play that instrument and to sing a song for the Lord. But, you know, oftentimes I'm hesitant to do that because I know how, but I don't know how to do it very well. And oftentimes I allow that to cause me to be hesitant to do it at all. But truly, if we are going to do something, we ought to do it for the Lord. And if we're going to do something for the Lord, we ought to, you know, the level of talent really shouldn't be the factor. If we're doing it for the Lord. But I allow that and have allowed that at times to be a hindrance to me. You know what I do sometimes? I let the devil talk to me. I let him talk to me. Sometimes I let the devil speak to me rather than as soon as I hear him, rather than just saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," immediately, sometimes I allow the devil to talk to me. Sometimes I fail. And I want you to know something today, folks, that the things that I'm saying from you today are straight from the heart. As much as I can put them before you that way, are from my heart. Sometimes I realize within myself that I fail to show the level of love and compassion towards people that I ought to. I know that's true. I know myself. God knows me better than I know myself, but I know myself. And I know that that's true. I know that there are times when I am brought to the realization that I have neglected prayer, that I have not prayed, that my prayer life has not been as diligent and as active as it needs to be. I realize that, the reality of that in myself. And the same is true for the study of God's Word. I study God's Word, but I realize that many times that my study and my search into the things of God's Word fall short of what it ought to be. I ought to be more diligent about it. And I realize that about myself. God has blessed my life greatly. God has been very, very good to me. Far better than I could ever possibly deserve. And I know, and I believe with all my heart, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from Him, is from above, that these beautiful gifts come down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But with that knowledge, I am guilty of taking things for granted. I'm not talking about you right now. I'm talking about me. I am guilty of taking things for granted. I am brought at times to the realization that I miss opportunities. I just miss them. And am made to realize that I really, in that situation, that I just was not a good and an effective witness for the Lord. There are ways, you all pray for me. There are ways that I am disobedient to the God of my salvation. Not just by a blatantly ignoring what the Holy Spirit would speak to me and how that He may lead me in something, but things that according to His Word that I know that I should do and I don't. You know, that's disobedience. That's disobedience. If we know to do good and do it not, to us it's what? Sin. The things that we know and have been taught according to His Word, if we don't live our lives according to that, we're living disobedient to the Lord. I know that there are more ways that I could possibly stand before you and explain to you today. There are so many ways that I fall short as a pastor. Many ways. And the last thing I want to say on what I had made note of, and then I want to share some scripture with you, is that I realize that I am never going to be perfect in the flesh. But that does not excuse me from trying to be. Knowing that we are guilty of sin was never intended to be a license to sin. We ought to try to sin not. as the Bible tells us. Now, if you have any question today as to why I have said these things or what I'm doing up here, well, I'm confessing. I'm confessing. And this is what happened. I'm going to go ahead and read a verse of Scripture from James chapter 5, verse 16. James said, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And Friday night, as Brother Kilby brought the message there at Union Hill, he made a statement. He made a statement that I have made. He made a statement that I have heard made many times. And he just simply said that among our churches that we don't hear very much confession anymore. We don't hear very many people confess their faults anymore. And when he said that, I thought, well, it's true, but not only did I think that, the Lord really drove that into my heart. That one thought, that one verse of Scripture. In fact, to the point that I asked the person that I was sitting next to in the service, "Can I borrow a piece of paper from you?" I didn't have anything on me, and that person gave me a piece of paper, and I wrote it down. Confess your faults one to another. Why do you suppose that this is true? And I realize, and I do believe that in this verse, that in its strictest context, that James had related this to sickness. That's the context in which he was talking. That if there are people that among you that are sick, they are to call for the elders of the church and the anointing of the oil and the prayer. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And, you know, if any confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. If anybody is guilty of something that has brought this upon them, then confess that. But I don't believe that that's the only way in which we are supposed to confess our faults one to another, not just when we're on the bed of affliction. I'm sure that you all have heard the old saying, and I believe in many ways it's true, that confession is good for the soul. But you know, the very first thing that we ought to do is confess them before the Lord. To take these things to the Lord and confess them. I don't believe, in fact, I'm not going to say it that way. I'm going to say, I know that James was not telling people here to go and sit in a booth and confess their sins to a man to receive forgiveness. That's not what he was talking about. Confess your faults one to another, and there are two things here that are joined together, and that is confession and prayer. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. And oftentimes, I believe our prayers are hindered in praying for each other because we don't really know what we are struggling with. We don't know what somebody is struggling with. We don't know how that someone is having a hard time in their Christian life and in their walk with God because it never is confessed. And so we don't know. And so our prayers are hindered. Well, what is it? Well, no questions, no doubt that something that we are not supposed to have plays a great big role in it, and that's just plain old pride. Pride. I don't want anybody to know my faults. I don't want to tell anybody about them. Sometimes I don't even want to tell God about them. I would rather just try to hide them. I would rather that nobody even knows. I would rather to just have everybody think that everything is well than to embarrass myself. And so, something else that the Lord, a way that the Lord impressed me, and I asked God, I sat in my study last night and asked God to search my heart. And I thought, if I'm going to preach this to the people, then as their pastor, I better try to set the example. Do you think that any of us are perfect? Do you think that perhaps the reason that we don't hear confession is because that everything is so perfect in our lives that we don't have anything at all to confess? Do you think that might be why we don't hear it? How many agree with that? I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that everything is so perfect in our life. I don't believe that any of us are so far above having faults that there's no need for us to confess anything. I believe that we just would rather hide it, that we would just rather nobody know about it, and we would rather just act like everything is well, and we don't need anybody to pray for us. We're doing just fine. But that's not true. Let's look at some scripture. I believe Paul was really a great servant of the Lord, don't you? Romans chapter 7. Paul said, beginning with verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, or from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of sin, but with the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Was not the apostle confessing some things? Was not he speaking the truth about things that he found in himself? As long as we live in this flesh, we are going to struggle. There is a warfare that goes on constantly between the inward part that has been saved, that has been made righteous, and that outward nature, that sinful nature of man, are constantly at war with one another. And as long as that goes on, we are going to have faults and we are going to have failures. And James writing said, confess your faults one to another. Now, if I stood up here today, and I know this is true because I've done this here at Fairview Memorial, if I stand up here today and I tell you that the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and I have mentioned that, and I've heard people say, amen, amen, that's right, that's the Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are to come together and we are to worship together. But does not the same Bible, do not the same scriptures that tell us that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, do they not also tell us that we are to confess our faults one before another and pray one for another that we may be healed of those things? Yes, it does. I've heard people and have known people in my life that they didn't want to hear anything at all about how that we were supposed to give of our resources or our finances to the Lord. Didn't want to hear anything about it. Didn't think that ought to ever even be mentioned. Well, I don't think we ought to do it the way that a lot of people on TV do it. I agree with that. But you know what I find? I find that giving to the Lord is taught in the same scriptures that contain the message of salvation by grace. It's all there together. And we need to be willing to take it all. We don't need to, tear out the part. I'll tell you what, a lot of times, I believe what happens a lot of times is that maybe we don't even have to go and search for our own faults because we've got a lot of other people that are willing to tell us what they are. I mean, I've known a lot of people in my lifetime that are willing to, they're willing to come to me and they're willing to tell me exactly what's wrong with me. You know, they're willing to confess my faults, and a lot of times we find that, you know, people are willing, well, you know, people are seem more than willing to come and tell the pastor what it is that he's doing wrong. There's never perhaps any mention of how they may have failed in their being a church member, but we're willing to tell the pastor or we're willing to tell the deacon how that they are failing. And or maybe one church member is willing to tell another church member what they are doing wrong. Somehow, and I don't know how this happens, Jesus taught us about this, and it shouldn't be able to happen. But evidently, there are many people that can look past that beam, that great big obstacle, that great big beam that's in their eye, and see the little bitty mote that's in somebody else's. Evidently, they can do that because, people don't have any problem going and telling somebody else what's wrong with them. It's a wonder sometimes that we don't have somebody stand up and say, well, I need to confess today. I want to confess his faults. That's what we seem to be able to find, isn't it? We seem to be able to do exactly what Jesus said should not be done. We seem to be able to, see what is happening with our brother or with our sister and not being able to see the faults that we have within ourselves. And so certainly that's going to hinder confession, isn't it? What did James say? Did I not read from this verse this morning that he said, confess your faults? I'll tell you what. You'll do well with this, I believe. If somebody comes to you and they want to tell you everything in the world about what your brother's doing, just tell them, say, no, just, I don't need to hear it. I got enough myself to deal with. I got enough in myself to get straightened out. I've got enough in myself to repent of and to get corrected. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. You may believe it or not believe it, but I'm going to tell you something today. I believe that these things that we hold in as the people of God, and these things that we try to hide from people, and these things that we are not willing to confess before each other because of pride, they hinder the services of God. They hinder our worship services when we try to hide things from the Lord. Hinder us. We don't have the liberty that we need to have. And perhaps we don't have the power that could be ours. I'm going to tell you one thing today that's true about every one of us. You may succeed. You may very well succeed in hiding your faults from someone else. You may be very successful in hiding them from men. But God knows all about it. God is not mocked. You don't pull the wool over God's eyes. What we sow, we reap. David did a pretty good job covering things up for a while, didn't he? And you know what? The problem wasn't that Nathan the prophet knew about it. David did a pretty good job of concealing things, and it wasn't Nathan the prophet that knew about it. It was God that knew about it. And so he just told Nathan, you go to David and you tell him, you take this message to him and you speak this parable to him and you let him know that I know what he's done. Folks, I'm not talking today about getting up and confessing every week, every little evil thought that we've had. You know what? I believe there are some things it's better to just take it to the Lord and get rid of it. I do. But I'm talking about, and I believe James was making reference to sharing our burdens and our weaknesses and our concerns. You know, we need to love each other enough to be able to do that. We need to love each other enough to be able to confess our faults one for another, and to know that, you know, my sister is struggling with this and my brother is struggling with this and they know that I'm struggling with this, and we can help each other through prayer that we may be healed of those things. I'm going to tell you something today. I want you to know this if you're here today and you're lost, that the Bible tells me that pride precedes destruction. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that can be the same way with Christian people. If you're here today and you're lost and without God, you don't need to allow pride to keep you from coming to the Lord. You need to come before Him, and you need to just lay it out before God today. You need to make your confession before Him. You need to repent of your sins before God. You need to trust the Lord today and be saved and not worry about what anybody else may think about it. And we ought to be willing, as His people, we ought to be willing to serve Him in that way. To serve Him in that way. To do what God asks us to do, and to do it for Him. And not to worry about, you know, whether or not somebody else likes it. I'll tell you one thing. If you start trying to please the masses, you'll never get it done. You will never please everybody. Never. But I believe the Lord is pleased when he sees a heart that wants to serve him, when he sees a heart that's honest and open. And, you know, I just don't believe, and I'm not trying, folks, I want you to understand me today. I'm not trying to probe, and I'm not trying to produce anything. That's not my intent at all. But I don't believe that we are as well in our lives and our walk with God as our silence would make it appear. I think there's things we need to get rid of. There's a love and a lust for this world that exists among the people of God that we need to lay down and we need to get rid of it. But we don't want to confess that, do we? I mean, you mentioned something about people wasting their time with you know, worldly things, and they're just like, preach something else. It's true, though. We've got wrapped up in things that we never should have been wrapped up in. They waste our time. They lead us away from spiritual thoughts. They lead us away from studying the Word of God. Hinder us in a lot of ways. Well, as the old saying goes, the ball's in your court. I tried today. I don't, no doubt, I could have done a lot better job. But I tried today to do what the Lord sent me here to do. We need to embrace, we need to once again, I'll tell you something the people of God need to do. We need to once again embrace the fact that God gave us his laws. That God gave us the rules that we are to play by. That he told us, and it's recorded in this grand old book. He told us what we are to do, and he told us what we are to avoid doing. And we need to play by the rules. Because I'll tell you what, this book here, the scriptures, they don't only contain the rules, but we're going to be judged by them as well. Amen. We're going to be judged by the things written in the books. I want to say again, before we have a song, I want to say, if you're here today and you're not saved, if you ever want to be saved, you're going to have to lay it all down before the Lord. You're going to have to turn from everything and turn to him. You can't cherish things in your heart and want to keep things that are not right. That's not repentance. You've got to turn from your sin and turn to the Lord with all of your heart, with your whole heart, and trust him in that way to be saved. If we, as God's people, if we want this healing that the scriptures tell us about, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. My people God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and what? And turn from their wicked ways. You mean the people of God can have wicked ways? Evidently. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Heal. There's all different ways to be healed. We need some healing. Amen? We need healing. I'm going to ask for a song. I do have you, if you're here today and you're lost, I do have you very much upon my heart today. I want to see you saved. So we're going to give you the opportunity, the invitation to come and seek the Lord while we stand and sing.
395. 395.